We're continuing the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Halvo, Paragraph Beis. V'alkein, and based on what we've been learning so far, Iker Hashtar Hu Bekarkois. Usually when a legal document is drawn up regarding a financial transaction, usually it relates to a real estate, a property that's attached to the transaction. Ki ikra hu ashirus hu karkois, because true wealth is generally associated with real estate, property. Ve ikra shoroshei hanafoshois hu bebechinas karkois. And when it's written in Sforim that the souls are rooted in the same place as money, we're referring again to property, real estate, that the souls are connected to property and real estate. Ki ikar hu ashirus hu lenoshim. Because we know that wealth is associated more so with women. Bibechinas, as the Pasuk says, by Yaakov Avinu, when he worked for Lavan, and then when he decided to leave Lavan, and he consulted with his wives before leaving, they said, ki kol ho'isher, all the wealth that's ours is for us and our children. This is what Rochel and Leah said. K'may shekosav Rabbeinu, and as Rabbeinu Zal writes about this, in chapter 60 in Likutei Moran, Ve'isho karka oilam. And we know that the woman is also referred to as property. There's a statement in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dafayin Dalet Amid Beis, where it speaks about Esther Hamalka, Queen Esther, and it uses this terminology, Esther karka oilam, that a woman is compared to a piece of real estate, a piece of property, in the context of the Gemara there. V'alkein hakarkois nikroin achrayis. And this is also why property, real estate, is referred to as achrayis. We'll see in a minute. Upirshu, and the commentaries explain, shehu miloshen v'loy la'achriti, that it's not for anybody else, it's mine. You know, it's a property is something that's much more attached to the person. Dahainu bonim, meaning that this refers to the children of the person. Usually, when a person writes up a will or is passing on their wealth to the next generation, usually the most important aspect of it is the properties, the real estate. Ki hakarkois oimdin levonov, because the properties of the person, that's usually what's most fixed. It's less movable and assumed to be passed on to the person's children. Kishom shoyresh nafshom, because that's actually where their souls are rooted. Kishoyresh nafshois bonov hu bashirus, because the source, the roots of the souls of one's children are in one's wealth, which touched on this in the previous year. We'll just continue a little bit. V'alkein, and this is why the Gemara says, Hagoizel es chaveroi ke'ilu goizel nefesh bonov, that if a person steals from someone, it's as if he stole the souls of his children. Because when someone steals money or wealth or anything like that, the souls of the children are attached, are rooted in that wealth. As Rabbi Nachman expounds on this a lot in chapter 69 in Likutei Moran. We mentioned this in the previous year, and now Rabbi Nosson Zal is referencing it again, that's the place in Likutei Moran where Rabbi Nachman really explains and expounds on this concept of a family, a husband, a wife, and children, and exactly what the soul connections are between them, and how the wife and children are especially connected to the wealth of the person, to the money of the person, the money of the husband, and especially their property, etc. Ve'ikar shoroshom hu bebechinas karkois. And when we talk about the roots, the children, their souls being rooted in wealth, it refers specifically to property. Shehu bechinas isha, which is also associated with the woman, the wife. Because we said before, the Gemara says, Isho karka soilon, Esther karka oilon. The woman is referred to as property. Veze bechinas Toitze ha'oretz nefesh chaya. And this is also what the pasuk refers to in Bereishis when it says, let the earth give forth a living soul. Toitze ha'oretz nefesh chaya. Kishom kol hanefoshos. Because all the souls are rooted in the karka, in the earth, in the property. V'alkein nichroin achrayis. And this is why property is referred to as nechosim shiesh ban achrayis. It's possessions which have achrayis. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Sma quotes the Sefer HaOruch, which gives two interpretations of the word achrayis. He says one interpretation of achrayis means property, earth, land. And he brings proof from it from a pasuk, where the pasuk mentions the term achrayis, and the Targum, the Aramaic of it, says that this refers to land, property. He says another definition of the word achrayis, so one definition is land, property. Another definition of the word achrayis is responsible, meaning that this is something that could be held liable and responsible for a monetary transaction. If I lend money to somebody and I lend it to him based on the fact that he shows me he's got a full wallet of $100 bills, I know that 1 minute yes, 1 minute no. We know when it comes to a wallet of $100 bills, you can get rid of it pretty quickly. You can unload it pretty quick. Whereas when we talk about property, real estate, usually that's much more stable. That's more something that can be assumed to be much more responsible for a transaction. If I see a person and I see he's got a portfolio, a real estate portfolio, then of properties, then I know if I'm lending him $10,000, a reasonable sum, I know that there's what's attached to it. There's something that I can take from if I should need to, if he doesn't come up with the cash. Kiheim oimdim levonav. Again, because the properties are there for the person's children. Kishom shoyrish nafshom. Because that's actually where their souls are rooted. V'alkein hakarkois ikar hanachlo shemoyrish levonav. And it's for this reason, real estate and property is usually the main thing that a person's leaving for their children in a will. Usually the most important thing is the real estate and properties. Ki hayirusha hu lahashlim hanefoshos. Because inheritance is something that helps complete the souls of the children. A child is born, they come into the world with nothing. But they have their parents, let's say, they have the father, mother, who are taking care of most of their financial responsibilities. Food, clothing, shelter, education, everything. But chas v'shem, when the parent disappears, when a parent goes away, in terms of what that child can depend on that's going to cover them, where they're getting the majority of their financial backing, it's real estate, property, support. That's the thing that's most dependable, achrayis. And that's what completes the souls of the children. Ki hayirusha hu lahashlim hanefoshos she'ikrom bekarkois kanal. Because inheritance is something that's supposed to serve to complete the souls of the inheritors, which are mainly attached to property, to real estate. As Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this in chapter 69 in Likutei Moran, where he says, "Veze bechinas Yerusha," and this is the whole concept of inheritance. Ayin Shom, look over there for more information on this. V'alkein, and therefore, machmas sheikur shoroshei hanefoshos hu ba'ashirus shel karkois, because of the fact that the souls of the family, especially the wife and children, are rooted to and connected especially to property, to land, alkein koshe lohitzi hakarko merishusoi. That's why it's much more difficult for a person to unload property, to transfer property, to sell property, than it is metalton, than it is cash or movable holdings. Kiyim al yedei aksav. And as we mentioned before, you can't really transact property unless it's in writing. Sheshom nizgale hapnimius. Because we said once somebody puts something in writing, that shows that they're really serious about it. Person says they're going to do something. Speech is an expression of the soul. But we said writing is an expression of the pnimius hanefesh. That shows what the person really wants. Shaydezeh, so that when a person puts something in writing, afilu isha yoytzeis mibalo kana. We said before that even a wife who is very much attached to her husband, when a husband and wife get married, it's a very serious connection, and yet that connection can be undone in writing. We said the get must be, in order for it to be a krisus, something that breaks the connection, that severs the connection between them, it must be in writing. So we see that writing is a very powerful thing. It can break the connection between the wife and husband. It can break a connection even of property, how strongly property is attached to a family. V'chein b'halvo, and so too regarding a loan, shehaloive nishtabe l'malva alidei hamomoin shelova mimenu, whereby the borrower becomes subservient in a sense. He becomes attached to the lender through that money that the person lent him. V'chol nechosav mishubodim loy. And if it was done in writing, if there's a shtar, then we said all the possessions and all the properties of the borrower become mishubod, become subservient to the lender. They become attached. Ach ein nigmar hashibud legamri. B'toikiv sheyucha litroif afilu milekuches. However, that attachment of the properties and possessions of the borrower, that should become attached to the lender, it doesn't really become attached to the point where the lender will have the ability to grab it or even to take it away from someone else. If the borrower went ahead and sold those properties, let's say the loan was, I'm lending you this money from January for the year 2013. I'm lending you money for a year. You must pay back at the end of the year, at year end. And during that year, the borrower goes ahead and sells all his properties. So we said that the lender has the ability to go to the people who bought it and said, it's mine now. You bought it after I lent this person money, after I lent them $1 million. And when I lent it, at the time I lent it to him, there was a written contract. And that written contract automatically attaches all of his properties. Anything that he owns at the time of the loan is attached to it. And if he goes ahead and sells it afterwards, if he has cash or other things to pay me back with when the time comes to pay the loan, fine. If not, I can go to those people whom he sold the property to and I can grab it from them. However, kiyem al yedei aksav, that's only if the loan was, the transaction was put into writing. Dahinu ashtar kanal. Ve'ikar hashibud hu bekarkois. And again, the main lien, when we talk about a lien, the main lien is on properties. Ki al ze ikar hasmicha. Because when Reuven lent Shimon a couple of $100,000 or a, he was basing his trust, especially on the fact that Shimon had property. Kishom ikar sharoshei hanafoshois. Because as we said before, that's where the souls are really connected and rooted. Paragraph Gimel. V'zeh ma'asham rabbi senuzal, and this is why our rabbis tell us in the Gemara, shtar isle kola, that when somebody does a transaction, if there's no document written, then could be nobody hears about it, nobody knows about it. But once they put it in writing, people hear about it. A document, once a legal document was drawn about a transaction, that people hear about, isle kola. Rav Nosson Zal explains now, ki haksav hu bebechinas hakoil, because writing is like sound, it's like a voice. Ki haksav hu bayodayim. Because we know that you write with your hands. Shemishom toitzois hakoil. And the voice of a person is also associated with the hands. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, hakoil koil Yaakov v'hayodayim yedei Esav. That the voice is the voice of Yaakov Avinu, and the hands are the hands of Esav. Which means by Esav, by the goy, he talks with his hands. He talks by hitting. A Jew talks with his mouth. His hands are his mouth. When he speaks, he makes things happen by speaking. He doesn't have to hit. So the hands of a Jew are his voice. Bechinas, and as the pasuk also says, Midei Avir Yaakov, from the hands of the powerful Yaakov Avinu. Ki Yaakov, and Yaakov is koil, hakoil koil Yaakov. Ki Yaakov hu bechinas Torah shebichsav. We know that Yaakov Avinu represents the written Torah, bechinas koil, which is kavyochol the voice of Hashem, the words of Hashem. V'alkein haksav hu bebechinas dechura, and that's why writing the Torah shebichsav is referred to as male zohar. Bechinas Torah shebichsav shu bechinas yamin. That's the written Torah, which is associated with the right hand. Whereas va'ashirus, whereas wealth, hu bechinas smoil, is usually referred to as the left. We know there's a pasuk oirech yomim biyamino ubismoila oisher bekovod, that on the right you have long life, on the left you have wealth and honor. So wealth is associated with the left, which is bechinas Torah shebalpeh, which is the oral Torah, bechinas nukva, which is associated with female. Bechinas nefesh, which is associated with the nefesh, the lowest part of the soul, the nefesh that's referred to as the nekeva, the woman. The concepts Rav Nosson Sal is presenting here, he's doing it in bullet form, very short. We mentioned that very often halacha aleph in Likutei Halachos is much more choppy and brief than the later halachas. He's sort of assuming here that you're familiar with some of these terms and concepts. If people learn Chassidus or Kabbalah, the things he's mentioning here are basic concepts that people are familiar with. V'alkein, and therefore, haksav hu pnimius shoresh hanefesh. And therefore, writing, we mentioned, is an expression of the innermost part of the soul. Kismoil nichlal biyamin, because the left is automatically is included in the right. V'shoyrish hasmoil hu biyamin, and the left is actually rooted in the right. Kishoyrish Torah shebalpeh hu betorah shebichsav, because the oral Torah is rooted in the written Torah. There's nothing in the oral Torah that's not based on psukim in the written Torah. So the left is an extension of the right, in a sense. V'chein shoyresh hanefesh shubchinas nukva, and therefore, so too, the roots of the nefesh, and we said the term nefesh here is being used to refer to the female, b'chinas ashirus, which is associated with wealth, hu b'chinas haruach. The female, the nefesh, is rooted in the male, which is referred to as ruach, shehu b'chinas koil. Ruach, which means wind, air, is associated also with sound. Sound is the breath coming out of the person, in a sense, which is b'chinas yamin. And koil is associated with Yaakov, with Torah shebichsav, which is the right side. B'chinas tchura, the male. B'chinas Torah shebichsav. V'shom pnimius sharoshe hanefoshos. And it's in the Torah shebichsav, it's in the male, it's in the right side, that's where the source of the nefoshos are rooted. Meaning even the female, which is the left, is rooted in the male, is rooted in the pnimius hanefesh, which is writing, we said. Oral, the female is usually a concept of oral, but the oral Torah, is rooted in the written Torah, in the Torah Shebichsav. paragraph Dalid. V'zeh sham rabbi seinu zal, and this is why our rabbis tell us, stam kinyin liksiva oimed. That usually, when two Jews do a transaction, and there's a kinyan made, one way of doing this, those people that attend a Jewish wedding will usually see that before the chuppah, when they write the marriage contract, the ksuba, usually there's a kinyan made where they'll tell the chassan and the kala to hold on to a handkerchief or a hat or a gartel, to pick it up as a sign that they are accepting responsibility for everything that's written in that document. The ksuba is written, the chassan and kala are told what it says, and then they're told, now make a kinyan. And the way they'll make a kinyan is by taking a hat, a yarmulke, a gartel, any kind of hat, and lifting it up. One way is lifting it up, put it down. Sometimes it'll be by holding on to it, grabbing onto it, holding on to it, while the other person, as a means of transfer of ownership. It's called kinyan sudar. So Rav Nosson Zal says here now, based on what we're learning here, we'll understand why the Gemara says that usually we assume stam kinyan is liksivoy made. That when a kinyan is made, both sides are agreeable that it be put in writing. Ki kinyan sudar hu kinyan gomor sha'al yodoy nikna hakoil. Because when a transaction is done through this type of kinyan, where an article of clothing or something is held onto or lifted up as a sign of a kinyan, a transfer of ownership, it works. It's considered a complete kinyan. The ef shalachsar, and once it's done, it's irreversible. You can't change your mind. You know, I changed my mind. Change your mind? You just signed and sealed. It's as if you signed and sealed. Why? Rav Nosson Zal explains now. Ki hadibur hu bechinas malchus. Speech is usually associated with the sphere of the mid of malchus. Vehu madrego ho achroina. That's the lowest level on the ladder. When we speak about the ladder that defines the midos of Hashem, malchus is the bottom, the lowest rung. Shehachitzoinim smuchim l'shem, where the klipos, the forces of tumah, are closest to there, v'yonkim isham, and they have the ability to draw from there, to take from there. V'heim oilam hasheker, the klipos, the tumah, are synonymous with falseness. V'alkein regilim lachsoer u'leshanoi sadibur, and this is why, unfortunately, it's common for people to retract and to change what they said. Now, if a person says something, you would say, we said dibur is malchus. Malchus is kingdom. Kingdom is pretty important. And yet, despite the fact that a word is a word should be something very powerful, by many people, if they only said it, it's sort of easy for them to regret, to change their mind, and even to check, I didn't really mean that, I meant this. Me'achar shehu samuch lem kanal. The reason is because dibur is associated with malchus, and malchus is close to the klipos and tumah, so therefore they're powerful there. They have the ability to get people to be wishy-washy about what they say. V'alkein lois samucho daito ala dibur. And therefore, a woman, the Gemara says, is not willing to rely on a word alone, on the man saying, Hareyat Megu, you know, I hereby accept you as my wife. Sure, you're saying that now, and an hour from now you'll say something different. Ki afshehu isur godoy l'shanoy sadibur. Because even though in Judaism it is a major transgression, it's a major sin to go back on your word or to change your words, that if you said X, to say, no, I didn't say, I said why, that's a major sin. Im kol zeh, despite that, harbe nichsholim bo zeh. Many people, unfortunately, fall into that. That if they said it, they can go back and say, I don't remember saying, I never said such a thing. And if I did say it, I didn't mean it that way, I meant it that way. Me'achar shehu samuch lohem kanal. Again, because dibur is associated with malchus, and malchus is the closest thing to the klipos, to the sitra achra, So that's where the most problems come in when it comes to Dibur. And this is why we find the Gemara says, Hachayim va, that most people get into the biggest trouble with their mouth, with what they say. It says that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai once said, had I been around when Hashem created the world, I might have done something differently. Because when Hashem created the world, He created man, He gave us two ears, two nostrils, two eyes, and a mouth, the most important thing, He gave us only one. But Rabbi Shimon said, but after I thought about it and I saw what goes on in the world, I realized that having one tongue and having two walls in front of it, the teeth and the lips, it still gets a person into all kinds of trouble. Now, it's still plus. So Hashem did more, He gave us more than enough with one mouth, one tongue. So, and again, it's because of the fact that the dibur, the tongue, is malchus, and that's the closest thing to the sitra achra, that's where the most problems come in. Aval kishakoinen besudar. But when besides the word, a transaction is done, they use a garment, a handkerchief, a gartel, a yarmulke, a hat, something like that, to close the transaction. Hu gemar hakinyan. That seals it much stronger. Ve'yefsher l'shanoy soid. And at that point, it becomes irreversible. Why? Ki habegodim heim nimshochim mebechinas bina. Because speech, we said, is associated with malchus. Clothing is plugged into a much higher level. Clothing is connected to Bina, the sphere of Bina. Shehi bechinas alma do'osi, which is associated not with this world, the world that we're in, which is called the Olam HaSheker, but rather Bina is associated with Olam Haba, the next world, which is called Olam Ho'emes. We know that in Hashem's attributes, there are 10. There are 7, the 7 lower ones, and the 3 upper ones. The physical world that we live in was created in 7 days, corresponding to the 7 lower midos, Chesed through Malchus. They're associated with the physical world, the materialistic world. The upper 3, Chochma Bina Das, or Keser Chochma Bina, they're associated with the next world, which is called the Olam Emes, the world of truth. They represent a much higher level, less vulnerable to tumah, to sitrachra, to lies. Shehu kulay emes. The future world is the world where there's only truth. Ve'ein sham shum shinui v'sheker. There's no wishy-washy. There's no changing your mind. There's no lies. V'habegodim nimshochem isham. And clothing is associated with Bina, with Olam Haba. It's brought, if I'm not mistaken, the word Chashmal, Ches Shin Mem Lamed, is 378, and the word Malbush, Mem Lamed Beis Vav Shin, is also 378. Malbush, which means clothing, is Bigematria Chashmal. Chashmal refers to a very high level of light that's associated with Bina, that's associated with the future world. Rabbi Nozal speaks about this in a few chapters in Likutei Moran. V'habegodim nimshochim misham rak bishvil zeh. And clothing is associated with Bina, with the future world, with this very high level, specifically for this purpose, meaning, dahainu kedei lechasoi sala kedusha, to cover the holiness, Shehu bechinas emes, which is truth, shelo yisachsu bohen hachitzoinim, so that the klipos, the forces of tumah, should not be able to draw from truth, from holiness. Shehem bechinas sheker, the klipos are referred to as sheker, besoid hachashmal. And again, clothing is associated with this secret called chashmal, kamuva, as is brought in Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Chasidus. V'alkein derech lahaknois al yedei habeged. And it's for this reason that usually when a kinyan is being made, when people want to lock in a transaction, they do it with an article of clothing, a handkerchief, a yarmulke, a belt, a shirt, something like that. Dahainu kinyan sudar. We're referring to the kinyan that's called kinyan sudar, which is what people use usually these days. Shehu kiyum v'chizuk. that locks it in, that really strengthens it, shaloilach saroid, that nobody should be able to get out of it anymore. That's real commitment. Ki habegodim heim shmira min asitrachra, because clothing is a protection from the sitrachra, dahainu asheker, another word for sitrachra is sheker, falsehood, ki heim mebechinas bina oilam haba, because clothing is associated with bina, the upper world, she'ein shom shum sheker, where falseness cannot reach there, cannot attach itself there. These are things that people see. A person goes to a wedding, they see something, they see him taking a handkerchief. What is that? How does the handkerchief close the deal? How does that lock in the deal? What does one have to do with the other? To the ability that we were able to understand Rav Nosenthal's words here, we understand that this speech is connected on the ladder. On the ladder of holiness, speech is associated with malchus, which is powerful, but on the other hand, it's the bottom rung on the ladder. It's the most vulnerable. It's the thing that sheker can attack most easily. Whereas clothing, now you're talking another league, a different league. Clothing is connected to bina, a much higher level, which is the olam ha'emes, and that's a protection from sheker. That's why we lock in a verbal commitment. We lock it in by the people taking hold of a piece of an article of clothing. That makes it much stronger. V'zeh b'chinas stam kinyan l'ksiv oymeid. And this is why, again, the Gemara says that when a kinyan is made, when a transaction is closed by taking hold of a piece of clothing, something like that, it's assumed that it's like it's in writing, it can be put into writing, that everybody is agreeable to have this documented. Ki aksav shehu b'chinas koil, because as we mentioned earlier, writing, which is associated with sound, nimshach mebechinas yad koiseves, is associated with this term yad koiseves, the hand that writes, umishom yoitze bechinas Torah shebechsav kemuva, and it's brought that the written Torah that Hashem gave us is associated with this yad koiseves, the hand that writes, vialkein hakinyan sudar. And therefore, this kind of a commitment that's made with a piece of clothing, kinyan sudor, shalidei habegodim, which is done with an article of clothing, shenimshach mebechinas bina, which comes from bina, oimed liksiva. It's assumed that it can be written down. Kimishom yoitze bechinas haksav, because writing comes from there. Vialkein hakinyan biatzmoi, Yeshloi gamkein koil, kamei shekosu b'shulchan aruch. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch tells us that when something is put in writing, when there's a legal document, people know about it, and also when there's an actual kinyan performed, they both take hold of an article. That's also something that's more publicized. People find out about it much more than if it's just a verbal commitment. Kimishom toitzois hakoil, bechinas koil shofar, because that's where the sound comes. When we talk about people hearing about it, sound originates from the same place as these what we're speaking about here, the begodim, the kinyan, etc. V'alkein nirmaz haksav shehu pnimi es shorash hanefesh b'milas anoichi. Rav Nosenthal says, now we'll understand also why Rabbeinu Zal tells us in Likutei Moran, over there in chapter 173, which this halacha is based on, that writing, which is associated with the inner part of the soul of a person, we learn that out. The Gemara bases that on the word Anoichi of the Aseret, of the Ten Commandments, the opening word of the Ten Commandments. Bebechinas, as the Gemara points out in Shabbos, Ano nafshi ksovis yohovis, that the word Anoichi, Aleph Nun Chof Yud, makes up the first letters of I, myself, have written this, Hashem says. Ano, and that's one translation of it, and Rabbeinu Zal translates it, I, my soul, place in my writing. Ki Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Zebechinas Almadosi Kemuvasham. Because that opening statement of the Ten Commandments, where Hashem says, I am Hashem Elokim, that represents Olam Haba. Kemuva, as is brought in the Zohar HaKadosh Sifrei Kabbalah, it's brought that the union of Yud Kei Vav Kei Elokim, that represents the future world. This is something that's mentioned in many psukim. Rabbi Nazal speaks about this in chapter 54 in Likut Imran and other places, that when you see the words Hashem Elokim, that represents Olam Haba. Umishom Yoitse Haksav. And it's from there, from Olam Haba, from Bina, that's the source of, that's the origin of where writing comes from. Shehu Pnimiyus HaNefesh. That's the innermost part of the soul. We mentioned earlier that the term Nefesh, Stam, when we talk about Nefesh, which refers to the lowest part of the soul, that's usually associated with Malchus, the female, etc. But when we talk about Pnimiyus HaNefesh, where the Nefesh draws its light from, where it receives from, there we're talking about Bina, Olam Haba, we're talking about a much higher level. Again, this particular halacha that we just learned is not easy. He's touching on deep concepts, and it's presented a little bit in a choppy way. He's not clarifying everything. He's not elaborating on everything. He's referencing us to a few places in Likut Imran where these topics are explained more broadly. And again, some of it he's assuming that we're familiar with the terminology. We try to do the best we can in getting as much as we can out of this halacha. Now we move on to Halacha Beis, which is based on a completely different topic in Likutei Moran. Inyan Halvo, regarding the topic of loans, v'hachiluk shebein milve b'shtar l'milve alpeh, to expound on the differences between a verbal agreement and a written contract, shemilve b'shtar toyref mishubodim. If it was written down, if the loan transaction was put in writing, then the lender will have the ability to put a lien. There's an automatic lien on the properties of the borrower. And if the borrower goes ahead and sells those properties after he lent the money, doesn't matter. The lender will be able to go to the people who bought those properties and say, guess what, buddy? Have a nice life. Get off my land. Get out of my house. Because I lent him $100,000. He doesn't have money to pay it back. I have a lien. From the day that I lent him the money, there was a lien on any properties that he owned at that time, unless specified otherwise, unless it says clearly in the loan document that there's a lien put on a specific property only, or something like that. Aval milval peh, whereas if the transaction was not put in writing, if it was only a verbal agreement, einoi toyreif mimishubodim, then the lender will not be allowed to go to any people who bought property from this borrower after the loan and take away property. Cannot do that. Al pima shekos of Rabbeinu HaKodesh Zal b'maymar tiku memshola. This halacha will be based on chapter 1 in the second half of Likutei Moran, b'Likutei Tinyonot, Siman Aleph. Ve'isa shom, over there in that chapter on Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal tells us, Shalidei Shleimus Hayira, that when a person has complete respect and fear of Hashem, of Torah, of things that they're supposed to have Yira for, Shenishlam Alidei Shemekablin Koroi Hasholosh Regolim. And Rabbeinu Zal says over there, how does a person get to that level of having Shleimus Hayira? One of the things that helps a person tremendously in that is showing the proper respect for the holidays, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. Ayidei zeh zoichin lahashpoas hanavuah. That will help the person get to a level where they will be able to receive a flow of prophecy from Hashem. Valyidei hanavuah. And when this prophecy is flowing, nifdeis hatfila min agolus. Then the tefillah, the prayer, is taken out of its exile. Meaning, there is a concept. We know that when the Jews were in Egypt, they were in exile, they were under the yoke of another nation of the Egyptians, and it's brought that one of the things that was also in exile was their ability to pray. When a person's in jail, they're in prison, that kind of thing, they're rendered helpless to a degree sometimes in terms of the ability to speak. Because speech is the malchus of the person, like we said. Speech is authority. When a person's freedom of speech, when a person is free, they have freedom of speech, they can say what they want. When a person is in exile, what's most in exile is the koyach hadibur. And that's why it's brought that the holiday of Pesach, we celebrate coming out of Egypt, coming out of exile. Pesach is Pesach, the mouth speaks. Because when we were in exile, the speech was in exile. See, there Rabbi Nizal speaks about the tefillah coming out of exile. Vazai kishezechen letefillah. And when the tefillah is released from its exile, when people can have real tefillah, Azai ein tzrichin l'shum refuos al yidei asabim. Then we no longer have to come on to medicines which are usually based on herbs, plants, different things like that. When the tefillah is bishlemus, there's no need for medicines and herbs and all of those things. Ki yecholin l'hisrapos al yidei lechem umayim shoichel. Because when a person's tefillah is bishlemus, then whatever they eat, if they eat bread and water, the bread and water can provide the same healing and curing as medicines and medications. Ki kol huasabim mekablim koicha min akoichovim. Because Rabbi Nizal explains over there in Likut Imran, all of the herbs and plants and vegetation, they draw their energy, their power from the stars. The Gemara makes a statement that there isn't a single plant or blade of grass that doesn't have a star and an angel connected to it, bringing it a flow of energy, delivering its energy to it. V'ha-koychovim me-ha-govoya mehem. And the stars, the lower level stars, draw their energy from the higher level stars. And they draw their energy from the angels. And they draw their energy from the higher level angels. V'agovoya megovoya mimenu. V'kulam heim bechinas loivin zemizeh v'zemizeh. And Rabbi Nizal over there quotes the Zohar HaKadosh, which uses the terminology that all of them receive, each one of them receives from the one above him. The lower one receives from the one above him, and he receives from the one above him, and the terminology that's used is they borrow. Just like a borrower is receiving from a lender, so too all of these different levels of creation, the star, the plants receive from the stars receive from the angels, and so on. They're all borrowing from their source. As the Zohar HaKadosh says, all of the different stars and heavenly spheres borrow from each other. Siara lovim in Shmaya, the moon borrows from the sun. Because again, when you're talking to ones about people who are on an equal level, equal, they give, they buy and sell. When one is on a much lower level than the other one, the assumption is that compared to the one above him, he's a borrower, he's a lender. Ad hashoyresh elyon. So they're all receiving from the one above them until you get to the top, the heavenly source, shehu dvar Hashem, which is the word of Hashem. The word of Hashem is the generator. It's the battery. It's the source of energy that feeds everything. Because we know there's a pasuk that says, bidvar Hashem shomayim nasu, Uberuach piv kol tzavom, that with the word of Hashem, heaven was created, and with the breath of Hashem's mouth, all the armies of heaven. The tzavom is the angels, it's the sun, the moon, the stars, all of it originates from the Dvar Hashem. The Dvar Hashem is the source of all of it. Umi shezoicha letfila, and therefore, a person who is zoicha to pray properly, to have real tefillah, shehi dvar Hashem, which is the dvar Hashem, because we know that when we pray, we say, Hashem sefosai tiftoch, Hashem open my lips, Give me the words to speak to you. So when a person is praying properly, their words are referred to as Dvar Hashem, the word of Hashem. There's a pasuk, Va'osim Dvorai Beficha. Hashem says, I will place my words into your mouth. And we know Rabbeinu Zal teaches us there are places in the tefillah where we say this, Psach Picho Le'ilim Kamoini. Hashem, open your mouth for me. Give me the right words. And in fact, Rabbeinu Zal, when he speaks about his spoydidus, he says that a Jew should always be saying this. A Jew should always be begging Hashem when he's about to pray to Hashem. Hashem, give me the words. The Gemara uses the terminology Shechina Medaberes Mitoich Groinoi. That when a person has the proper connection to Hashem, when they're speaking, it's Hashem speaking from their throat. So when a person is Zoichet to Tefillah, which is the Dvar Hashem, Azai Kulam Mekablim Mimenu Koicham. Then all the angels and all the stars and everything receive from him. Because when a person is zoichet to true tefillah, he's connected to the top floor. His wire is plugged into the Dvar Hashem, which we said is the source of all sources. All of them receive from the Dvar Hashem. So when a Jew is zoichet to the Dvar Hashem, when he plugs in up there, all of these other guys, all the angels and the stars and everything, are all receiving from him. V'alkein, and therefore, kishe'odom zoiche l'tfila, when a Jew is zoiche to real tfila, azay mechuyovim kol ho'asabim v'kol siach hasode she'yachziru koicham l'toich ha'tfila. When a person makes that kind of connection, then all the plants and grass and herbs, all of those things which we usually make medicines from, all of them are obligated to return, to put their energy, to put their power into his tefillah. You know, so they all receive from him. We know when something receives, usually it's supposed to give back. So these plants and everything which receive from the stars, which receive from the angels, which receive from the Dvar Hashem, when a Jew is zoichet to Dvar Hashem, he's plugging into the source from which all of them receive, and any abilities, any powers that they have to return to him, they have to give to him. Bebechinas, as the Torah tells us, Vayetze Yitzchok losuach basode, that Yitzchok Avinu went out to speak in the field. Dahainu shetfilosoi hoyo imsiach hasode. This means that his prayer was plugged into the field, the grasses and the vegetation, all the things in the field. Shekol siach hasode kulam olu v'nichlalu betfilosoi. So that all the plants and all the vegetation and all the grow, all of those things that grow, they all return their energy and power to its originals. They all went up and plugged into that his tefillah, the tefillah of Yitzchak Avinu. And in fact, Rabbeinu Zal says over there in Likut Imran that the word yivul, in Hebrew we have the word yivul, which means product, a product of the earth. The pasuk says, v'ha adama lo sitenes yivulo, or when we talk about plants and grains, things that grow from the ground, there's a general term that's used to refer to produce, that word produce that's used, referring to all kinds of plants and vegetation. The Hebrew word for produce is yivul. Yud Beis Vav Lamed, and Rabbeinu Zal says the word Yevul makes up the first letters of Vayetze Yitzchok Losuach Basode. Because when a Jew is praying properly among the plants, in the fields, in the forest, among the trees and plants, their product, the produce becomes one with his tefillah. They put all their energy and power into his tefillah. Because they return their energy and their power to their origin, to their source. Shehi hatfila, which is the tefillah, which is the Dvar Hashem. Vazai, and when a person is connected like that, Vazai yechoyla lahamshich koyach harafua letoich lechem umayim. Then the person doesn't need herbs or medicines. His the curing power can be in anything that he eats or drinks, even bread and water, as the pasuk says in the Torah. Uveirach, Rabbi Nizal quotes the whole pasuk, but the last part of the pasuk is Uveirach es lachmecha ves meimecha. Hashem will bless your bread and water, vahasiroisi machla mikirbecha, and remove all illness from you. And Rabbi Nizal shows there, based on the beginning of the pasuk, that it's talking about a person who is zoicha to shleimus hatfila. Nimtza. So to sum this up, shekulam heim bechinas loivin zemizeh, that all of these different levels of creation, the plants and the trees and the stars and the angels, each one of them is receiving from the other, receiving from the one above them, v'zemizeh, ad hamal v'hagodol, until we get to the top lender, the biggest lender, shehu bechinas habal tfila, which is the master of prayer. He's called, another name for him is the Malveh HaGodol, the great lender, because he's hooked up to the Dvar Hashem, which is what gives to all the levels below it. V'alkein al yidei ha'tfila, kulam machzirim koicham l'sharosham shehu ha'tfila, and therefore when the tfila is b'shlemus, all of these lower levels return their energy into the tfila, which is their source, and then the person will be able to be cured, to be healed, even from bread and water. Study that first chapter in the second half of Likut Imran, where Rabbi Nizal expounds on this tremendously. And this is the foundation. On this, Rabbi Nosson Zal is going to build his halacha now, where he's going to speak about borrowing and lending in general and the different laws related to it. Hold it over here.